This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion, and it is joyfully performed, purport, by His Divine Grace Srila Abhay Charan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called the King of Education because it is the essence of all doctrines and philosophies explained before. Among the principal philosophers in India are Gautama, Karna, Kapila, Yajnavalkya, Sandilya, and Vaishvanara. And finally, there is Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra. So there's no dearth of knowledge in the field of philosophy or transcendental knowledge. Now the Lord says that this ninth chapter is the king of all such knowledge, the essence of all knowledge that can be derived from the study of the Vedas and different kinds of philosophy. It is the most confidential because confidential or transcendental knowledge involves understanding the difference between the soul and the body. And the king of all confidential knowledge culminates in devotional service. Generally, Prabhupada goes on to explain, this is written by Prabhupada, whose murti or deity is seated there in that asana. Generally, people are not educated in this confidential knowledge. They are educated in external knowledge. As far as ordinary education is concerned, people are involved with so many departments: politics, sociology, physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, engineering, etc. There are so many departments of knowledge all over the world and many huge universities. But there is unfortunately no university or educational institution where the science of the spirit soul is instructed. Yet the soul is the most important part of the body. Without the presence of the soul, the body has no value. Still, people are placing great stress on the bodily necessities of life, not caring for the vital soul. The Bhagavad Gita, especially from the second chapter on, stresses the importance of the soul. In the very beginning, the Lord says that this body is perishable and that the soul is not perishable. Antavanta ime deha nitya syokta saririnaha. That is a confidential part of knowledge. Simply knowing that the spirit soul is different from this body and that its nature is immutable, indestructible, and eternal. But that gives no positive information about the soul. Sometimes people are under the impression that the soul is different from the body and that when the body is finished or one is liberated from the body, the soul remains in a void and becomes impersonal. But actually, this is not the fact. How can the soul, which is so active within this body, be inactive after being liberated from the body? It is always active if it, the soul, is eternal. Then it is eternally active, and its activities in the spiritual kingdom are the most confidential part of spiritual knowledge. These activities of the spirit soul are therefore indicated here as constituting the king of all knowledge, the most confidential part of all knowledge. So, here Lord Krishna, he is imparting to Arjuna this, the purest and most confidential knowledge. The most secret of all secrets. Why is knowledge of the spirit soul such a great secret? Why is it considered to be the king of all knowledge or education? This has been briefly explained in the first few paragraphs of this purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, that because actually the soul is the active principle in the body. The body that we see is nothing but the external shell. Just like someone may put on a football uniform or put on his school dress or swimsuit, he may change the dress, but we would consider that the body that's wearing the dress is more important. But this body itself is a form of dress, which is covering the living force, which is symptomized by consciousness. And to realize that living force, or the soul, as our self, as our real identity, that is the most joyful and satisfying experience. Because with that comes the knowledge that we are indestructible, that we can never be divided or diseased or cut or aged, that those transformations are only of this body which has a planned obsolescence. But the living force or the spiritual energy is never deteriorated, as is the material energy's form. Actually, even material energy doesn't get destroyed. It may become transformed from liquids to gases, from gases to liquid to solid, or in other ways it may be divided. But the soul, we are the smallest spiritual infinitesimal particle. It is described in the Vedas that we are just very minute, almost the atomic size, the spirit soul. But although the same type of spirit soul, the same category of living force exists, a very educated person and a very foolish person, the same type of spirit soul is there. The living force is not of a different category. Same category, same basic potential. But due to being developed or undeveloped in terms of consciousness, the full potential of the spirit soul comes out, filtered by the extent of materialistic consciousness that we have. In other words, in the pure liberated state, the spirit soul has its unlimited potential manifested. At that time, it's described that the spirit is more powerful than millions of suns, because even the sun is a material luminary which goes through creation. It stays for some time and ultimately it's also destroyed, as everything material goes through these changes. But the living force, which is in the body, that is indestructible, that is immutable. So, for a person living in a very temporary habitation, it becomes quite precarious. Just like one time our founder, spiritual master, he invited to a very big audience that he was going to give away a free house. And that house would have all facilities, air conditioners, cars, servants, very nice house, multi-story building. So he asked, how many people would like to have the free house? So many people raised their hand that they like to have. Anyone here would like to have a free house? Yes. Then he said that there would only be one condition. The condition is no rent, no tax. The only condition is that any time, day or night, the owner of the house or one of his agents can come without any warning and kill you. By any means, that's undetermined. So, who wants the house now? So everyone laughs that this is not a very attractive offer. Everyone is laughing. At the same time, this is the type of house we're living in. This body is that type of a house. At the time of conception, we, the living force, entered into the womb of our mother through the agency of the Father. There we stayed 9 months in the womb, developing as an embryo. The last 2 months, according to the Sankhya yoga of the Vedas, according to Sankhya, or the detailed explanation of the material world from the spiritual standpoint, we became conscious. Then finally we were born, and then with new senses we started to experience the experiences of the external world. And gradually, through those senses, we've built up certain conditioning, certain knowledge about the world that we live in. But we've forgotten our original spiritual position and what we were before this life. Neither can we see what we are going to be after this life. So in this body, any time, whether it's by some horrible disease or whether it's by some accident, car accident, plane accident, heart attack. Just when I was in New Orleans 2 days ago, one lady went to shopping in a grocery store and someone shot her while she was putting her grocery in the garage, in the trunk of the car. The husband said that she especially went to that grocery store because she thought it was safer. It was much further from her house than the grocery store next door. She only lived 2 blocks from the grocery store, but she drove further away because she thought it was safer. She was shot in the parking lot of that one. So at any time, we may have to leave this body. So according to the Vedic literature, that the simple purpose of economic development or finding enough resources to feed the body, to clothe the body, to get a house, to get some gratification for the senses, that this is basically even fulfilled on the animal platform. It's not a very elevated status of life. These are just the basics. That human intellect is ultimately meant to realize our position as an eternal spiritual energy, as the actual dynamic force in the body. And if we don't come up to that platform of self-realization, then our education is considered to be, practically speaking, a failure. Our education is considered to be completely incomplete, totally unfulfilled. Because without that one essence, our most secret knowledge, then again and again we have to retake repeated birth and death in the material world. We have to again come back after we die, again into another material body. We're not able to reach our pure liberated state free from the bondage of these material bodies. So, of course, in the Vedas, there are different forms of liberation described. Some people feel that, well, what happens when we die? See, actually, what happens is nothing happens to us. All that happens is that this body becomes a wreck. It becomes uninhabitable. So we have to discard it. We have to leave it. Just as much as if your car breaks down, you're not going to sit there indefinitely. Sooner or later, you're going to get out of it and get another ride. So when this body no longer becomes movable, operable, then the living dynamic force leaves the body. And it has a subtle body called in Sanskrit, the sukha sarir, or subtle body. And that body is a combination of mental and intellectual and egoistical faculties. And they take these, so they encompass the unfulfilled desires and aspirations which have accompanied that soul during the previous lifetimes. And they take one to future life, to a future birth, directed by higher natural laws. So a human being is something like a loophole in nature, where out of all the different species of life, the dynamic living force can get out of this chain of transmigration of the soul in the human birth by researching, by understanding what is the difference between the body and the living force or the soul. If we think that the body and the living force are identical, then we've not really understood the highest and greatest secret that was mentioned today in this verse. The greatest secret, or the Raja Guhyam, the greatest mystery, Raja Vidya, the king of education, is to understand the nature of this living force as a minute particle of God. Therefore, as much as God is eternal and indestructible and absolute, so we also have in a minute quantity that same indestructible, absolute nature. Only God is unlimitedly powerful, while we have some limitation to our power. Although, definitely, as a human being, our power is not as fully developed as it could be. If one, as a human being, becomes liberated, is able to realize the self as separate from the body, and able to realize the Supreme Self, or the Param Atma, the Super Self, who is also situated in everyone's heart as the Super Soul, in that case, then our full potential of transcendental knowledge, transcending time, space, is realized. One other point that is described here, susukham kottam abhyam, that in case all of this type of research sounds as if it was somehow very ungratifying or maybe very tedious or something, Krishna, he clears it up that no, this is susukham. Sukham means happiness, and this is susukham. This is extremely joyfully performed. This is not at all miserable or distressful to achieve liberation. Rather, it's very joyfully performed. The closer you get to understanding your complete independence of this body, which is the source of all our problems in life, the happier you become. It's the body which gives us the trouble and the mind which gives us trouble. If we're able to control the body and mind and then realize that we are the dynamic, active, spiritual force in the body, then we become completely happy. Brahma Bhut.